Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Project Hail Mary, Nirvana, The Band, The Show, The Movie, and Resurrection.
I've got a very science fictional lineup this week, although the three science fiction films I want to talk about are very, very different kinds of science fiction films. I will start off with Project Hail Mary. This is a movie which is directed by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. It was written by Drew Goddard and Andy Weir, and it's a big hit. I wasn't expecting this. I don't think anybody was expecting this, but it's turned out to be extremely popular. A lot of people really like it, apparently because they regard it as being very upbeat and hopeful and entertaining. And I suppose it is all of those things, except maybe for entertaining. I found it way too long and really just not all that good. And the main thing I found out about it was that it's very, very unoriginal. It borrows everything, I think, from previous and better movies. But hey, I'm just being a curmudgeon here. Let's talk about the movie itself a little bit. It stars Ryan Gosling, and he plays a guy whose name is Ryland Grace. Now, this is kind of interesting because it appears that Project Hail Mary, this movie, apparently has something sort of religious going on in the back of its mind. After all, it's named after a prayer, Hail Mary, and the main character and his name is right there on his name tag, Grace. So, okay, we have some sort of apparently Christian thing going on here. Okay, that's fine. Maybe an extra thing to think about during the movie. In any case, Grace is apparently a total scientific genius who for some reason is teaching at a middle school, and that's what he does. And then he is recruited to take place in this project called Project Hail Mary. He doesn't want to do it, but he's sort of tricked and coerced and pulled into it. And so he ends up doing it. And that's what the whole movie is about. Now, what the project is that apparently there are some sort of living creatures which have infested part of the galaxy. They're microphages, little tiny microscopic living creatures. And they are taking energy away from the sun. But then it turns out they're not only taking energy away from our sun that lights our planet, they're taking energy away from other stars as well. And there's a chance that the entire, galaxy or universe or something might end up going completely dark if this is allowed to continue. So I can't get into all the details here. Our main character, Grace, played again by Ryan Gosling, has to take a trip to Venus in order to combat this menace, find out what's going on, and somehow save the universe. So that's what the movie's about. And so a lot of this movie has Grace by himself on a spaceship going through space and going on his way to Venus. It's kind of wonderful. I saw this movie on the exact day that the latest NASA mission was launched. So I just had a sort of a rocket launching day here. But anyway, there he is, and he is on his way to Venus, and he's by himself through a lot of the movie. Then a lot of the movie also presents flashbacks to how he got coerced into this, how he got dragooned, how he got yanked into doing this even though he didn't want to. And it turns out that this is a one-way mission. There will not be enough fuel for him to ever be able to get back to Earth. So even if he accomplishes his very difficult mission, he will then have to die in outer space. A long way into the movie, and again, the movie's very long, around 2.5 hours, he comes upon a friend. And the friend is this outer space creature who he gives the name of Rocky to. And Rocky becomes a companion to him and a sort of a cute little feller. He's not that cute to look at. He looks like a rock, which is why Grace names him Rocky. But he's has this very cute voice. At first, they can only communicate through gestures. Then they figure out how they can communicate through Rocky's comments come up on a little computer screen, and then they figure out how to give him a voice. One of my many quarrels with the movie Project Hail Mary is that Rocky's voice is not interesting. It's a very bland, dull voice, and I can't imagine why anybody would want to listen to that for a long time, but that's one of the ingredients in the movie. So I'm certainly not going to tell how all this turns out, but yes, the mission goes on. All kinds of adventures happen along the way. Not very exciting adventures, in my personal opinion. And as I said, the movie is much loved by a lot of people who regard it as hopeful and upbeat, and I suppose that in the end it sort of is. Now, as I said before, Project Hail Mary is extremely derivative. It is totally unoriginal. A lot of its visual effects are clearly inspired by the great classic 2001 A Space Odyssey from the 60s. A lot of the action and the editing and so forth is clearly inspired by going way back to the very first Star Wars movie in the 1970s. There's the companion Rocky is just a redo of C-3PO and R2-D2 from the Star Wars saga. And other movies, too. It's just become a real trope. It's really very unoriginal. So I found Project Hail Mary. Every once in a while, there are some striking visuals. Every once in a while, there's a kind of an interesting story twist. But my gosh, the structure of it is also so strange. Near the end of the movie, there is what should have been a good suspense sequence about whether Grace will actually take on this mission or not. Well, why are you giving this suspense sequence when the movie is almost over and we've already been watching this mission for the past 2 hours? It just struck me is very strange. So I guess it does have a nice vibe to it, and I'm not going to gainsay that. Okay, fine, but the movie really did very little for me. I like great science fiction. I like science fiction like 2001 A Space Odyssey. I like science fiction like the very first Star Wars movie, but Project Hail Mary, not so much. Go see it. Have a good time, but I can't say I had a very good time, and it was awfully long. Okay, now for the next science fiction movie of the day, and what a strange title it has. Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie. And that's Nirvana with two N's to three N's altogether to separate that from the Nirvana of actual rock and roll history fame. And this is based on a Canadian TV show. This is why it's called Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie. This is a movie based on a Canadian TV show about a band. Now, I went into Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie, hoping that it would be something as good as, let's say, the original This is Spinal Tap, which is a wonderful movie, or maybe some of the other really excellent rockumentaries and documentaries that have emerged over the years. There aren't that many of them, but there are some. But I found Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie to be really, really disappointing. But again, it's not only a rockumentary and a mockumentary, it's also a science fiction movie, because what happens is that these two guys who have this band called Nirvana, it's just them actually, and they're trying so desperately to get a gig somewhere or other. They want desperately to play this place in Toronto called the Rivoli, and they're trying all kinds of tricks and things like that to manage this. And along the way, one of them accidentally invents a time machine, and they get transported back from 2025 back to 2008. And that's the big trope of this movie, that these guys are now, well, it's not that long ago, so they're not exactly disoriented, but they're in their own city, but in a very different time, and still trying to get a gig, and trying maybe to alter the past, which is 2008, so that if they ever get back to 2025, they will actually be able to get this gig. So that's what this movie is about. It is a science fiction movie, it's a rockumentary, it's a documentary, and in my opinion, it just isn't funny. Okay, so here are some of the problems with Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie. First of all, the main characters played by Matt Johnson and Jay McCarroll are, in my opinion, not very charismatic. I have been watching the series Peep Show from England lately. It is about a couple of losers, stoners, slackers who go through various adventures together, and sometimes it's really good. I was hoping that Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie would be maybe as good as a good Peep Show episode. I can't say that it is. It just isn't. So, okay, we have these guys wandering around in 2008. Sometimes the time machine thing comes back into it. There are some slightly amusing plot elements. It turns out that in order to get the time machine to work, you have to spill some of this beverage on it, and the beverage is no longer being manufactured, so they have this incredibly limited supply of it, and even that is in 2025, so they have to get there to get a hold of that. That's sort of amusing. Also, I rather did like the very first episode in the movie, and if the whole movie was as good as this, I would have liked it a lot. The very first episode, they climb up to the top of this enormously tall tower in Toronto, and they are going to skydive off of that, opening up parachutes into this stadium, and then announce to everybody, we are Nirvana the band, and we are going to be playing at the Rivoli, and come see us, and that way they'll finally get their gig at the Rivoli. Well, all kinds of things go wrong. One reason I like that sequence is that as a real acrophobe, somebody who gets really turned off by heights, even when they're in the movies, I found that sequence rather exciting. There they are, teetering on the brink of this gigantically tall tower, and you don't know if they're ever going to be able to even get their parachutes open, and what's going to happen when they go over the edge. And then the dome over the top of the stadium starts closing because the weather is going bad. And that introduces another theme in the movie, which is that apparently you need lightning to strike in order for the time machine to work. So there's all these things sort of mixed together. I did rather enjoy that opening sequence when they do their skydiving. But after that, I found the movie, I regret to say, just not funny and not very interesting. So I am sure that people who love rockumentaries and love documentaries will love this. Me, give me the original This Is Spinal Tap. Give me What We Do in the Shadows, that wonderful vampire mock documentary. Give me some of those classics, not Nirvana the Band, the Show, the Movie. It just isn't good enough. I call it Nirvana the Band, the Show, the Movie, the Waste of Time. Okay, and now our third science fiction movie today, and this is one that people might have to search for a little bit. It is streaming right now. That's how I saw it, but it's really, really interesting and also really, really puzzling. It's called Resurrection, and it was made by a really, really gifted Chinese filmmaker named Bi Gan. And it is a very, very long movie and a very, very visually captivating movie. So this is what it's all about. It takes place in a future world where it has been discovered by science that you can extend your lifespan, live longer and longer and longer, for centuries maybe, if you stop dreaming. So dreaming has become illegal. People are not allowed to dream, and everybody's living for a really long time. However, there are a few people in this population who refuse to go along with this. They still want to dream. They still want to have fantasies. They still want to have reveries, even though it means that they will not live so long. So they are called deliriants. And what this movie basically is the experience of one deliriant who has decided to keep on dreaming. And there are other deliriants in the movie, too. And it's about them and their reveries and their fantasies and their dreams. And the main deliriant is played by Jackson Yi, who is a very, very popular star in China. And he kind of goes from one dream to another throughout the movie. And there's another character who helps him out by installing somehow a film projector inside him. Because movies are another thing that this film is very much about. If this movie is about a society in which people are not allowed to dream and actually choose not to dream, how valuable movies must be, because they are basically dreams for whole bunches of people to have at the same time. So this is very, very much a movie about movies. And what happens is that as our main deliriant goes through the film, the deliriant passes from one style of film to another. So one part of the movie is really very much like an old German expressionist movie. Another part is a sort of an American comedy. Another part is a sort of a romantic film about young lovers. And it ends up as a vampire movie. And a whole bunch of this film, Resurrection, really turns out to be a vampire movie. And that's fine with me. I like vampire movies when they're good. So, as has been pointed out before I came along, this movie has all these different styles, and it leaps, sort of leaps, or rather morphs from one to another. And it's also a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful movie to look at. It's a gorgeous movie to look at. It's absolutely amazingly inventive. Bi Gan's last film, called Long Day's Journey Into Night, same as the famous American play, was also a real visual feast, partly in 3D. This movie does not have any 3D in it, but it is a magnificent cinematic Feast. Now, it is also a very difficult movie to follow. I think if you try to follow the storyline or storylines and try to make sense out of it, especially if you're just looking at it once, you'll have a very hard time with that. But that didn't bother me much. I just enjoyed looking at it, listening to it. It is so magnificently visual, magnificently cinematic, that if you can see it on even a slightly big screen, you'll have a great, great time with it. Very, very worth seeking out. New movie by Bai Gan, enormously talented Chinese filmmaker, Resurrection. Very, very magnificent audiovisual feast. So that is my very science fictional story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Project Hail Mary, Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie, and Resurrection.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.